I don't know about you, but we have decided that we want to live in freedom. But we've also discovered that it's only when we are free from our pain and dysfunctions that we can be powerful over our own feelings, thoughts, and emotions.
So join us as we open up this ongoing conversation and share with you the real, raw, and imperfect journey as we find freedom in powerful living.
My name is Amy.
And I'm Sam.
And this is the Powerful Living Podcast.
Okay, welcome back to the podcast.
Welcome back to you.
Welcome back to me, yes. I wasn't here last time, was I?
No, you were resting,
yeah.
Ensuring that you did not burn out.
Yeah, an essential burnout power nap.
Yeah.
That I needed to have before I went to work.
Yes, you did.
So I missed out.
Yeah.
Oh, sad face.
Sad face. But you're back.
I'm back.
We'd like you to be here most of the time.
So would I.
And when I say we, I mean I.
Oh.
And probably the people listening.
Oh, well, that's nice to know.
I think it's a lot easier to listen to two people talking.
Yeah.
Than one people.
One people.
One person talking. So it's good to have you back.
Huh.
So today we are talking about boundaries.
Yeah.
And this has been a huge topic of conversation for us recently.
Very much so. Yes.
Yeah. So I'm excited to be talking about this today. It's very timely, specifically boundaries in marriage. So that's what we'll mainly talk about today.
But
also just, I mean, having boundaries in marriage has helped us to have boundaries in life,
yeah.
Like just in general. So
yeah.
Kind of crosses over, but having boundaries in marriage and learning how to create boundaries in marriage, just figure out like what they are and how to implement them. I think for me personally, I felt like that's really equipped me to then be able to have boundaries outside of our marriage, because I've learned how to feel safe and familiar with having boundaries and in a safe environment, like in a safe relationship. And then that's kind of given me a bit of a boost of confidence to go out and have boundaries in other aspects of life as well.
Yeah. So it seems like I think most of us as human beings generally, if we're not taught healthy boundaries, or if we're maybe raised in a household that is pretty hectic, chaotic, stressful, unhealthy, we don't really learn boundaries as we're growing up, do we?
No.
And I don't think either of us really, in that sense, were taught, hey, here's how you put a boundary in place. And here's how you express your own need in a way that doesn't trump over someone else's boundary. I don't think either of us got that, did we?
I don't think we did, but it's very understandable because I don't think there's any chance that our parents got that.
Yeah.
When they were growing up, because of the generation that they grew up in.
Yeah.
So they didn't learn in order to teach us, which makes me incredibly excited to have a family and for people who are around our age to start having families, because I guess we're, for whatever reason, culturally, we're becoming more and more aware of the importance of our mental health and what's, you know, how setting boundaries really does make an impact on our mental health individually, but also in our relationships. And we're going to get to teach that to our children. And so the generation that comes after us is going to know how to do that. That's really exciting.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah.
So boundaries will change your life. Yes. I think we can say that confidently. Mm-hmm. However, what are boundaries?
What are boundaries?
Go on.
I have started reading the book, Boundaries, and there's an analogy that they use in the book that really helped me to understand, like, visually what boundaries look like. And the analogy is that we each have our own gardens, our own front lawn. So you picture out the front of your house, you've got a lovely little patch of grass, front garden, and you've got a nice little white picket fence around it with a pretty little gate, and that is your turf, and that's what you're responsible for. And then all of your neighbors around you, all of the people around you, the people in your lives, the people who pop up in your lives, they all have their front garden as well. And they're all responsible for their own front gardens.
Right.
Your garden and your lawn is your responsibility, and somebody else's garden and their lawn is their responsibility. And there are fences, but there's also gates. And so there's a healthy way to come in and out of each other's gates.
Right. Okay.
But actually stepping over those fences without being clear about what your boundaries are, like making it clear to people that this is where my fence lies, but this is where you can come in a healthy way. But I'm not going to let you come in if you're behaving in this way or that way.
Yes.
So does that paint the picture?
It does. Yeah, that's a great analogy. To flesh that out in terms of what that may look like in real life, there are so many different instances of things that can include boundaries.
Yeah.
An example of this to help paint the picture. The other day, we were having a conversation in the kitchen and it got pretty emotionally heightened. I got triggered at some point. And with me, I've held quite an insecurity for a long time around my emotions damaging other people. And so what I did was I suddenly felt really annoyed and frustrated and whatever else is going on under the surface. I forget exactly what we were talking about, but my emotions were starting to rear themselves. When you get triggered, you start to feel them. I then suppress them and try to push them down out of fear of my emotions upsetting you.
Yes.
So I was really afraid of actually allowing my emotions to come out so that they wouldn't hurt you mm-hmm. and therefore cause me to lose connection with you. So it's kind of fear of rejection there,
yeah.
kind of fear of failure in a sense as well.
Mm-hmm.
And in what I was doing there, what I was actually doing was my boundary line, I was, how do I describe this exactly? I was moving my fence line over the top of your fence line.
Yes.
And onto your garden.
So I was trying to help you understand what you were feeling and what was going on, but I was looking at you and I said to you, you look terrified.
Yeah.
Like you look scared and I've lost you. Like I don't feel connected and I don't feel my words are landing and that I'm able to actually have a conversation with you right now. You just look completely paralyzed. But in that moment, you were relying on me and like waiting for me to either feel better or worse to gauge your emotion.
Yeah.
And that's an unhealthy boundary.
It is, yeah. I was giving you the responsibility mm-hmm. for my emotions. I wasn't just completely taking ownership, responsibility, being powerful
yeah.
over expressing and processing my own emotions without any fear attached to them.
Yeah.
And so I basically froze, waited for your reaction. And the other side of this as well is that I was afraid that if I let my emotions out and if they were, you know, anger or frustration, yeah. that I would also lose connection from you. So not only like...
Which is making you responsible for my garden.
Yeah, exactly.
Because however I respond to your emotions and mm-hmm. how you need to process something is not your responsibility. That's my responsibility.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah.
So you can see how the boundary lines are being crossed over. The fences are kind of being knocked down.
Yes.
We're not, you know, we're on each other's turf in the yeah. wrong way, putting up our fences. Or not even establishing fences, just kind of digging holes,
yeah.
you know, and they're not clear. We're just sort of on each other's garden making a mess
yes,
of things, you know?
Exactly. And we have to get back to, okay, what's my responsibility and what's your responsibility?
Yeah, exactly.
Which we didn't realize, obviously, until after the conversation.
Yeah.
And we needed to talk about that and process what just happened there. And that's when we came to realize that that was a lack of boundaries. But in the moment, it's not something that we, I guess, have generally been aware of, but it's something that now that we've started talking about boundaries, we're becoming more and more aware of.
Yeah.
Which is very helpful.
That's great.
So I want to talk about how we initially realized that we needed boundaries. What actually brought us to that conclusion in the first place?
Because that was really hard to discover, wasn't it?
Yes.
Going from a place of really not being aware of what our boundaries were or how we were crossing each other's boundaries and then actually beginning to go to a place of putting in and implementing healthy and like clear boundaries.
I mean, before then, even just realizing that we needed them.
Yeah.
To then learn, okay, well, what are they?
Yeah, step one.
What
do yeah, they just look awareness. Like? What are boundaries? Yeah.
Because like you said, we didn't grow up with healthy boundaries being very clear.
Yeah.
We didn't grow up having conversations about boundaries. I don't think many people have.
Mm.
And so what actually led us to the point of having the first, I guess, conversations,
It
starts around education. Mainly, doesn't it? I think we'd heard from a friend who'd read a book, read the Boundaries book, actually. I think we'd become aware of a bit of codependence between us and relying on each other for, I guess, to make us feel better or worse, to validate and dictate our own emotions.
Yeah.
So we come to that realization, which then led to realizing, okay, well, boundaries seem to be something that need to be put in place here.
Yeah.
What did that codependence look like?
Well, I think for both of us, it's certainly, we're very, very close and we spend a lot of time together. We really enjoy being with each other. I think we've sometimes, in the past, we were so dependent on each other's emotional state being okay that it was very easy to fall into conflict and to get triggered.
Mm-hmm.
The triggers were quick. And they were deep. And so we get into very difficult conversations very quickly that could spiral out of control.
Mm-hmm.
And layers of emotions were just happening. And so it was very messy, in fact. You know, like, albeit the fact that we were like all happy and spending a lot of time together, it was also very, very messy under the surface.
Intense.
Yeah. Very emotionally draining conversations that leave us feeling like, oh my gosh, what do we even do for the rest
really
of the day?
We're done. Really getting pulled into each other's emotions.
Really getting pulled in. That's so true. Yeah. And really trying to fix each other's emotions as well, trying to figure each other out.
Yes.
That's another thing we've definitely both done a lot of is trying to say, oh, okay, well, you know, is it this? Or is this the problem? Or maybe it was because of this person. Or, you know, what do you think about that, like, you know, trying to be like detectives too much in a sense.
Yeah. And I think that served us for a little while, but then it almost became like that was the answer and that wasn't the answer.
Yeah.
It just served us for a little while.
Yeah.
But to do that all the time is unhealthy.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we probably got used to the, what's like the adrenaline rush and the like the good happy hormones after a conversation where we'd really been like stuck in the mud about particular emotions and then we'd found a resolution together and that really unified us and made us feel really close and really just like happy and excited and full of hope, like, wow, we're actually moving and progressing through our emotions. But that happy hormone thing that was happening, probably we kept trying to go back to that.
Yeah, in the same way.
In a subconsciously selfish way.
Mm, yes.
Like I know we're going to feel good when we get to the end of this, so I've got to jump in head first and swim around in this mess with you so that we can feel good at the end of this. But I think we actually began to do that when I already felt good beforehand. I was fine. So why do I need to jump in and swim around in your emotional cesspool?
That's great, yeah.
And in order to feel better, I already felt better before.
Yeah.
So drawing bound, we realize, you know, there's that codependence there of relying on each other's emotions. And also, I guess, you know, I might have felt good beforehand, but then if you were really struggling with something, I start to feel worse. And that's codependence because my emotions are depending on your emotions.
Leaning on me. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's like if I fall, you fall.
Yeah.
You know?
But then we both get out together, so it's all good.
Yeah. And it's not powerful, is it?
Not at all.
Really, that's kind of, you kind of draw that back. That's kind of a victim mindset.
Yes.
Because if outside external circumstances or even people are what you're relying on and leaning on, and if they move, you move. Mm-hmm. If they are pulling you, controlling you, you're not in control.
No.
Of your own life. You've lost power in that sense. You've given power away, actually, is probably the better way to put it.
Yes.
You've handed power away. Even if you don't know it, you've handed the power away.
Taken your sprinkler and gone and put it in someone else's garden.
Yeah, thrown over the fence.
Yeah.
Whee!
And you're just neglecting your own garden.
Yeah.
At the end of the day.
Yeah.
And then I think what can come from that, what I have definitely felt, is blame. It's your fault.
Yes.
That I'm now drying up.
Yeah.
But it's not your fault.
You threw the sprinkler over the fence.
I threw the sprinkler over the fence.
You gave it away.
Yeah.
Why are you drying my garden up?
Yeah.
Give me that sprinkler back.
Why are you taking all my water? It's like, well, it's up to me to give that away or not.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Okay, so how then do we begin educating ourselves, and how, I guess, do we encourage other people to educate themselves or point them in the right direction if they're like, okay, this sounds great. I think I need some boundaries in my life, but where do I start?
Well, gosh, I wouldn't waste any time on trying to kind of figure it out yourself. Like, it's great to have conversations, and we've had a lot of messy conversations, but that ended up in a lot of emotional, like, pain, almost burnout.
Yeah.
Frustration, like, just depletion.
Yeah.
I would personally go straight to the experts. Like, there are phenomenal experts.
The information's out there.
It really is out there. Oh, my goodness. And we would highly, highly recommend this one book. And we've not even finished the book, but we are referencing talking about it in discussions we've had about the book with friends. The book called Boundaries, which is by Dr. Henry Cloud and Dr. James Townsend, is a fantastic book.
Yeah.
And it will get right to the source. And it's such a great place to start and to just practically work through by through. And they talk about work, they talk about family, and they really paint the picture so well.
So there's a general boundaries book that you can get a hold of, read that one first. And then they've got specific books. I know they've got one on marriage, specifically boundaries in marriage. So once we've finished this one, I'd like to get a hold of that.
Oh, totally.
And read Boundaries in Marriage.
Yeah.
That's something that I maybe specifically before we move on would want to talk about a little bit more. Just now that we've touched on that, on it, like, you've hit the nail on the head. Educate yourself, get a hold of the book. There's not much more we have to say on that. Like you said, it can waste a lot of your time and emotional energy trying to figure it out yourself.
Yeah.
In terms of boundaries in our marriage, I know before we got married and we were dating, before we even started dating when I was single, hearing this boundaries in marriage, my mind instantly goes to sexual, physical boundaries, because that's what we talk about and focus on so much when it comes to dating. And so I was like, oh, well then why would you need boundaries in your marriage? Not really understanding that crossover. And I understood that it wasn't so much about a physical thing, but I just didn't get my head. I couldn't get my head around what kind of boundaries do you need that aren't physical?
Yeah.
So I think we've already touched on that a little bit in terms of the codependence thing.
Yeah.
And protecting your heart and protecting your own emotions, keeping your own lawn watered, being responsible and powerful over your own relationship with God, your own relationship with yourself, the way you view yourself, not being dependent on what your partner thinks of you or says about you or reacts or responds to you, because that's coming out of their own place. It's not always a reflection, you know, of us personally.
That's really good. I was just going to say as well, I think you're kind of touching on like the way that we can think about what boundaries mean. I think one of the core key things about boundaries is that we can tend to think of putting boundaries in place as a selfish thing and focusing on me, especially as Christians. We think, oh, I shouldn't be focusing on me. I'm told to be selfless by the Bible. But why would I focus on me and be selfish and, you know, all focus on me and what's going on with me? And actually, in reality, it's exactly the opposite.
Absolutely.
If you can implement healthy boundaries, it's actually the most incredibly selfless thing you can do.
Yeah.
Because you are honoring the human dignity and the human responsibility and you are actively, for example, when you've put some of your most sort of powerful boundaries in place individually, mm-hmm. what that did to me was that actually, so the clear communication of your fence line actually empowered me. It didn't make me think, oh, how selfish.
Yeah.
And, you know, piss me off.
Yeah.
It just empowered me to think and become responsible over my own life and over my own emotions. Yeah. So it's the most empowering thing you can really do is
for other people.
For other people, it's become powerful and not controlling, you know, in a sense, oh, control, I'm a robot. But powerful over your own self.
Absolutely. I'm so glad that you pointed that out because I think that's huge. And I think that's probably why I struggled to even contemplate emotional boundaries at that point in my life because of that dynamic playing under the surface as well, playing into it. So very glad that you mentioned that.
Yeah.
So what practically does putting boundaries in place look like?
That's a great question.
Do you want to give us some examples of, I guess, maybe what I've done, what you've done?
Yeah, that's a great question. Let's look at probably the most potent example that I've ever experienced in my whole life. When we were living with our parents, and we've actually referenced this conversation in a previous podcast. Uh-huh. We were living with our parents, with my parents, sorry, after we came back from Australia.
I love how you say
our. Our parents, oh, like, mum and dad.
Yeah, they're my mum and dad too now.
In-law.
Yeah.
In-law.
In-law.
Just in-law, they're mine.
I don't want them to be my parents too.
That's a boundary crossed. They're not yours, all right? They're mine. Okay, stay back. So when we were living with my parents, we were getting into lots and lots of difficult discussions and conversations. I was very triggered all the time, a very heightened emotional environment.
Being with my parents. We were very stressed as
well. We were very stressed. A lot of big change, a lot of big questions. Coronavirus is hitting. We've got visa stuff going off. We're thinking
lockdown
about work.
With your parents.
Lockdown with our parents. Exactly. Yeah. There's just tons of stuff. my parents. We were having loads of conversations where I was shame spiraling way out of control.
Yeah.
Again and again and again and again. I couldn't seem to stop it. Eventually, we got to the point where you got really to the point.
I got to the point.
You just came to the kind of the end of your wick where you basically had to say, you felt like you had to say, I cannot do this anymore. This is not working and I cannot do this anymore.
Yeah.
And it was more or less that was it, right?
Yeah. Not so you need to, so this, that, and the other. It's just, that's it. I can't do this anymore.
Yeah. You weren't trying to control me or tell me what to do whatsoever. You were being completely powerful over, this is my line. I cannot go beyond this line anymore. Here's where the boundary is drawn and you cannot come over this boundary anymore. Otherwise, I don't know, but you can't.
Yeah. Well, it wasn't even really defining otherwise. It was just no. I'm saying no.
Yeah.
And I don't even need to explain myself.
Yes.
And I think that's what a powerful boundary looks like. You've just touched on it there. Two things. Not controlling someone else.
Mm.
Setting a powerful boundary isn't so you need to X, Y, Z. That's their garden to be responsible for. That's not your garden.
Mm.
You need to release control of that other person. And they talked about this in the book that actually when we struggle to release control over other people, it comes from a feeling of not being in control ourselves.
Yeah.
So when actually coming back to, okay, I'm in control of my own garden and I can be responsible for this, it helps us with that as well. So releasing the control, not trying to control other people, becoming powerful over your own, what you're responsible for and what you're responsible to steward as well as a Christian. And then the other thing as well, I don't have to justify myself and I don't have to explain every area and corner of why I'm setting this boundary. It's just my boundary.
Mm, yeah.
And be confident in that because it's respecting myself.
Yeah. You're honoring and respecting yourself. And you said earlier before we actually had this conversation, respect breeds respect.
Yes.
When you respect yourself, people respect you.
Yes.
And they give you respect.
Yeah.
But if you don't, they won't. Yes. And they will walk over your boundaries, effectively, if you give that the open gate.
Yeah.
That will happen.
Yes.
So it's so important to set these. Now, when you set this particular boundary, it was so powerful because the emotional turmoil of what was happening was so deep with this shame spiraling that it had just the most profound effect on me because I suddenly was like, I was given the awareness that I needed, the clean cut awareness, no baggage on it, not trying to control me. It's just, I can't do this anymore. To me, I got the message loud and clear.
Mm.
I cannot cross that line anymore.
Yeah.
And so it was like, all right, so what do I do instead?
Yeah.
How do I actually not cross that boundary line? And it was so serious and so potent enough that it actually forced me to just have to learn to deal with that in a healthier way.
Yeah.
And so I began to self-talk. I began to, as soon as I started to feel shame, I was like, no, I can't spiral. That is the crossing the boundary. I'll cross the boundary if I do that. That's serious. I cannot afford to do that. I will lose something if I do that. Mm-hmm. And that's the other thing as well. I was aware, even though you didn't say what the consequence of the boundary was if I crossed it, mm-hmm. I became aware and I drew the conclusion in my own mind of what the boundary would be.
Yeah.
Because you leave the ambiguity and my mind's going to kind of play on that. It's like, oh my gosh, well, what happens if I cross that boundary again?
Yeah.
That's not good.
There are consequences.
There will be consequences. Yeah. It transformed me from the inside out, 100%. Yeah. I self-talked, I gave myself self-compassion. And I began to actually deal with, take ownership over the shame and actually work my way out of it so we could converse healthily.
Which made you more powerful. Had I just kept letting you come into my front garden and shame spiral all over the place and be there to support you and ask questions and help you time and time again, you would never have had to go back to your garden, sit in it and go, okay, how do I deal with this shame? Not just, I can't shame spiral. Like, I need to stop, because that's not really what you did. It was, I need to learn how to process this and deal with this appropriately and powerfully myself without having to rely on other people. And as your wife, I'm always here for you to support you and love you and encourage you when you need it. But for you, first and foremost, to be powerful over yourself gives me so much more freedom, I think, to actually serve you without being triggered myself.
Yeah.
And the last couple of months, this has really come into its own. So you've really turned a corner these last couple of months and it's become really noticeable that you've become really powerful over your own internal world, really.
Yeah.
And you've been able to share that with me and I've felt so incredibly secure and safe in our relationship because you're taking responsibility. So I don't feel like I need to be there for you every single moment when you're struggling internally. I can be there to support you when you need me to, and we can do that together when you need it. But first and foremost, you're powerful and responsible over it yourself.
Yeah.
And that's really freeing for me.
Yeah.
And something that actually I thought in reflection when I realized, that actually makes me feel really safe and secure. I kind of thought, it's interesting that hasn't made me feel insecure. Because I've been a real fixer and that's been my boundary. I've thrown my sprinklers into other people's lawns and it didn't make me feel that way. It didn't make me feel insecure like, oh my gosh, I'm not going to be able to jump in there anymore and help him. Like he's drawn his own boundary. That was your boundary, like not letting me step in and actually jump in there with you. And that was what we had the conversation about the other day. But that didn't make me feel insecure at all. It felt really healthy and really safe and secure.
That's meant.
Yeah.
So finally, what have boundaries actually done for our life?
Yeah.
How does our life look different because of boundaries being put in place? It has been remarkable what boundaries have done to our lives. That first boundary that I talked about with the shame spiraling, that was huge. Mm. That has given me such an incredible amount of confidence in myself to actually believe in myself and say, oh my gosh, like I can grow, like I can be like healthy and I can be a loving person and I'm not a failure. It transformed me and it began to reprogram my identity from that moment onwards. And it's been a cascading of events. And even more recently now, what's happening is because of that first initial boundary being set in place, not only do I feel powerful and actually believe and have the confidence in myself to be able to enact those boundaries and to actually have hope for the future of my relationships, whether that be in marriage or in work or in wherever, but I'm becoming more and more aware of the other places in life where I need to set boundaries. Mm. Literally just yesterday, we had a conversation whereby the realization was, I'm not putting a boundary in place. I'm overstepping your mark.
Yeah.
And in fact, it was actually two yesterday. We had a conversation, I think. And then it's actually at work. I had a conversation with another guy on the phone. It was a super triggered conversation. This guy was kicking off. But it was an incredible learning experience. Because in upon reflection, I was like, right, I didn't set up a boundary when this guy was going off at me. And I allowed him to go off at me and that caused me to get triggered. And then I got super defensive at him over the phone and I did. And it wasn't nice. I didn't even swear at him or anything. I didn't abuse him, but like it just was a horrible conversation and it was just not pleasant. But I realized in reflection, that was my responsibility. I didn't put the boundary in place. So therefore it got crossed by a person who just didn't know otherwise.
What could you have done instead? What would put you, because okay, just to explain to people what happened was, Sam was at work and received inbound phone call from someone who's trying to sort out his daughter's energy bill and he wasn't registered on the account and so you couldn't actually speak about the account with him. And that's a data protection. Like you just can't do that. So you explain that to him and then he kicked off and lost the plot at you and was being very
some pretty abusive,
directly at you, like not at the company generally. It was like, you've got this wrong.
You as an individual.
Yes,
are doing a disservice to your company. You're being useless. Yes. You are misinterpreting the rules. You are costing your boss money. You are like directly at me. This guy does not know me.
Yeah.
And so he was going after me.
So what could you have done to set a boundary in place there?
What could I and should I have done? Yeah. Absolutely, yeah. I should have. As soon as I started to feel him getting really amped up, I should have said, sorry, I need to stop you there. I'm not willing to have this conversation if you're going to speak to me in that manner. So if there's anything else I can help you with, then please let me know. Otherwise, I'll have to end the call here.
That's great.
And as simple as that. Mm-hmm. And then he's then got the choice. I can carry on and bull through and say, oh, blah, blah, you useless, blah, 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 blah. Mm-hmm. And then disconnect. I would end the call.
Mm-hmm.
Or
he realizes, this guy respects himself.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And you think, okay, sorry, mate, I got a bit out of hand there.
Yeah.
I just want to get this sorted, all right? Mm-hmm. How can we get it done?
And that's, the way you actually responded, which was getting sucked into it and coming back at him with defensiveness.
You son of a bitch, I'm going to smash your face. I didn't say that.
That's what you wanted to say. You were saying all of that in a professional, not swearing way.
Yeah.
But you were trying to get that result, weren't you? Mm-hmm. You were trying to get him to say, oh, I'm sorry, mate, I got a bit out of hand.
Yeah, but I was doing that by trying to control him.
Yes.
Because I was like, I was being incredibly reactive and defensive, saying, well, how am I supposed to do this? I can't break data protection law, otherwise I'll lose my job.
Mm-hmm.
And I was kind of coming back at him with that. And it was just back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. I wasn't getting anywhere. And I felt triggered and I felt rubbish afterwards. And I actually felt bad that I hadn't done something differently. I thought, you know what have I done there? That was crap.
Yeah.
Yeah. I felt bad about myself actually, you know? Mm-hmm. So that's a really great example. Overall then, it has made our life so much richer, so much more beautiful. It's so much more easy to enjoy like the beauty of life with each other and to enjoy each other's company together. And we're only getting better and better and better. So like the momentum is kind of moving downhill.
Yeah.
It becomes easier and easier to identify areas where you can put boundaries in place.
Yeah. It's brilliant.
It's amazing.
Everyone should set boundaries.
Absolutely. Everyone should set boundaries. Boundaries to the win. We should all start building fences practically just to remind ourselves. Build fences.
But having a healthy gate is important as well. And letting people in when you need help. We need to wrap it up because we have committed to shorter podcasts.
Yep.
But that is a conversation for another day. Actually knowing what letting people in a healthy way looks like. And actually, let's do that because I could talk a lot on that. Because for me, for a long time, just a little precursor for whenever this next episode is going to be, I have felt for me like setting a boundary is either like a stone wall or no wall.
Mm.
And it's like either completely shut out to keep me safe and protected or bulldoze the wall down and you can just come in anywhere and wherever. And it's cool because I want to fix things and I want to help you. And so having a healthy gate and knowing how to let people in and out appropriately and how to say that, no, actually, this is my fence and feel confident in that, that's been a big thing for me.
Yeah.
And hopefully just sharing that is helpful for you. But we can talk about that more.
Yeah.
Another time.
Absolutely. Well, for now, thank you so much for joining us once again.
Yeah.
It's a pleasure. We hope you enjoy this and have learned from it.
Yeah.
We really hope this sparks conversations in your life. Yes. Take this away and talk about it because it takes refining. Mm-hmm. It takes meshing out to actually get there where you really begin to change.
Yeah.
If you enjoyed it, please give it a rate, 5 stars and a review. We'd love to hear your feedback.
Thank you. Yeah.
But thank you for joining us. Anything else you got to say, Amy?
And subscribe.
And subscribe.
That would also be lovely.
So hit that button.
Another episode. We'll see you next Tuesday.
See you then, guys.
Bye.
Bye.